You turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Luke chapter 10. We've been making our way through Dr. Luke's account of the life of Jesus Christ. We come to a pretty familiar portion here. For Jesus, being a good teacher, liked to tell stories. And that's what he does here. Luke chapter 10. Beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Lord, we just thank you for your word. Again, it is established in heaven. It is unique on earth. Lord, thank you for speaking to us of yourself and about ourselves. For how else would we know, Lord, if it weren't for your word that we have? What a precious gift. Lord, I pray again as your word tells us to, for those in authority over us, pray for your mercy upon the leaders of our country, wisdom to them to look beyond their own interests. But Lord, you're in charge, you're in control, and for the sake of the gospel, and for the life and health of the church, we pray for those in government to be favorable, not just at our federal level, Lord, but in our state, in our local, we pray for them. Father, we pray for your people around the world. A lot of things that are going on, places where it's possible loss of life just to turn to Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those working among them, for your mercy, and specifically, Lord, those who we know here, who have been with us in recent weeks, the graves, we pray for your goodness to them, for provision, direction, and Lord, blessing upon them as they're able to rest and share of all the good things they've seen God do in their lives, for your goodness to them. And Lord, in our lives, for your mercy, for your grace, all the things that we're involved with, Lord, our various needs, for those whose lives our lives touch, for the sake of showing kindness to them, as we'll look at this morning, and for the sake of, Lord, seeing other people come to know Jesus Christ. Just pray for your working in our hearts and lives, Lord, in every respect. Lord, again, as we come to your word, that you would speak to me, to us, by your Spirit. Lord, that so we can understand this, what you're telling us that is timeless about being a neighbor. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this portion starts with a lawyer asking a question. What else is new? Some lawyers get paid a lot to ask questions. But he asks the question of Jesus. Jesus, at this point, he's very popular, he's very well known. And this lawyer, we can assume, was under the financial umbrella of the religious leaders of the time, the scribes and Pharisees. So he would have had ulterior motives, we can see in this. But he asked the question, and as someone has said, a lawyer is the opposite of a laundry person, where a lawyer, you lose your suit, and then they take you to the cleaners. So he asked the question, and Jesus answers him with saying, well, what is the law? In essence, so what does God say about this? How do you interpret, how do you read what God says about this? That's Jesus' answer. And so this lawyer is obviously bright, because for the first time, some have said for the first time in the entire scripture, all the Old Testament, and this part in the life of Jesus in the New, that he puts together two concepts that beforehand have never been put together. And they are love God, love your neighbor. Now they're both out of the Old Testament. Love God with heart and soul and strength of mind. And then in Leviticus chapter 19, In a part of a verse, there's, and love your neighbor as yourself. But this lawyer is sharp. He puts the two together. So give him credit for that. Those two things, the two concepts. And Jesus says, in answer to that, correct. Do this and you'll live. Is he going, you know, is Jesus saying at that point, in verse 28, well, if you're a good person and if you do everything that you know to do and do it all correctly and perfectly, you'll have spiritual eternal life? Is Jesus saying that? And you'd say, well, what does it read? Yes, Jesus is saying that. Oh, so what's the problem? The problem is nobody does that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody who does everything that we need, that we know we ought to do, and do it perfectly all the time. At some point we fail. So Jesus is setting a high standard of perfection, but we're not there. So Jesus said, yeah, so do this, just do that, and you'll live. And so then the lawyer, I think, to ease is guilt, because it does say in verse 29, wanting to justify himself. Because who does live up to the things that we know we ought to all the time, 100%? So wanting to justify himself, to maybe ease his little bit of guilt, it's kind of, if there is a neighbor that I have to love, then is there a neighbor that I don't have to? Put the question that way. So who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gives a story. And we'll see by the end of the story that the issue is not who is my neighbor. What Jesus is going to call attention to is what kind of neighbor am I? That's the bottom line. That's where he gets to. So we go into this story. Now it's about a Samaritan. Jesus never calls him good. He says a certain. But we've tacked that title on, and that's okay. You know, the parable of the good Samaritan. So I want to look at this from five different perspectives, because that's the way Jesus presents this account. Five different perspectives. And of course, the first is from the lawyer, about this person who went down, and this person from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I'll get to that. But this lawyer tackled this as a problem to discuss. He looked upon this as a problem to discuss. This is kind of head stuff. This person, this lawyer, would have been an expert in Old Testament law. And verse 25, one writer says, verse 25, "What shall I," was a stock question that lawyers just speak. A lawyer would kick around. "Well, what should I do in this? Well, what should I do in that? In all the different cases, well, what should I?" Well, did he do what he should have? What should I? Even though we think he already knew the answer. You know, as someone has said, the best way to get nothing done is to discuss it. Now, D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist of his day. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll get there later. Stuart Briscoe, great writer, pastor, says about this, "The answer to the question is the neighbor is the man in the ditch, the one who can't do anything for himself or for you. He might not be anybody you know or can stand, but he needs what you can give." Oh, now to D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, great evangelist. In his day, he was at, Indianapolis, Indiana. And he had a musician, Ira Sankey. And Moody knew that music attracts people. And so on a street corner in Indianapolis, Sankey would get out and just start singing. Music singing, draw a crowd. Men coming home from work, walking home. And then when Moody would see there on the street corner, enough are here, he would start to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to them. Moody, D.L. Moody. And when he saw things got larger, he moved the crowd down the block into actually a large conference hall. And he continued to speak, to tell them of the good news of Christ. And as after a while the story goes, he looked at his watch and said, quote, "I must now close the meeting. There is going to be a convention held here in a few minutes to discuss the subject, how to reach the masses for Christ." Okay. Ironic. You know, one of the best ways to do nothing is discuss it, which was the lawyer's take. This is a problem to discuss. But then Jesus gets into the story, and the next perspective is to the robbers, the thieves. The person was a victim to exploit. A victim to exploit. Now, you might have not just the word thieves in there, but robbers. More than just thieves, professionals. By the way, Jesus' description, it says, from going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's approximately a 20-mile journey, and in elevation, it does go down from Jerusalem to Jericho some 3,600 feet. So when he says going down, it means that literally. However, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is rugged. It is rugged terrain. There are a lot of good places to hide. It has been called by some the bloody way. So for traveling alone, it's bad. So there's no, Jesus is connecting with the one who's listening, who knows this. Oh, he's talking about something that's real here that could very well happen or maybe has. When he says he's left half dead, it could be if nobody comes along, after a while, from simple exposure, he's going to be fully dead. But then you have these robbers, thieves. And you have the person who wants things, doesn't care about people. Use things. You know, we're supposed to use things and love people, but this is love things, use people. That whole perspective. That was the robbers. That was the thieves. Someone to just, oh, here we go again. You know, Jesus Christ never exploited anyone. Use things, love people. Okay, so he continues on with the story. there's a priest and a Levite. And to them, this hurt person is a nuisance to avoid. So we have a victim to exploit, a problem to discuss, a nuisance to avoid. And notice, they're coming and they both avoid when they see what's going on. They both go out of their way. Now, Jericho is a priestly city, so it would be common for priests to travel between Jerusalem and Jericho, probably in convoys or multiple numbers. With this priest and this Levite, we don't know what's in their minds, but we do know what's not in their hearts. What's not in their hearts. Perhaps they had committee meetings to go to, a wedding, a board meeting. Maybe they didn't feel well. Maybe they were, maybe they were scared. Maybe they chose just not to get involved. It's an accident by the side of the highway. Don't get involved. Or maybe it's, I'm too busy, or I've already done my part. Already. It's not my fault. I'm a preacher, not a paramedic. Someone has written, if being a Christian does not make me a better human being, then something's wrong with my Christianity. When it comes to my outlook on people. If being a Christian does not make me a better human being, then there's something that's wrong with my Christianity. Because these two were the religious individuals that Jesus put in, who just didn't have time. So we come to the one who is the host at the inn. I'll come back to the Samaritan. The inn host who's there and who sees these two individuals as a customer to assist, to take care of. A customer. Two customers. And one who's hurting. You know, the person, this Samaritan who helps, says at the end, verse 35, you know, I'll repay you for whatever you need. Now, perhaps the innkeeper would have helped himself without need of any further pay, but we don't know that. But what we do know is that there are people who won't lift a finger unless there's something that's in it for them. You know, we look at a number of things in order to continue on the ministry of the church and a lot of things that need to happen in that. This is for the church family. And there's a lot of things in which it's truly volunteering, because it's not a matter of if you do this kind of thing through the year, will there be praise for you? Will there be prestige? Will you get publicity from it? Probably not. You'll get thanks. You'll get reward in heaven. For we've seen that where Jesus has already said about serving. But as far as the other perspective is, okay, yeah, I can do something like that. So what's in it for me? There's a lot of mentality of that out there. Yeah, sure, I'll do something. What will I get out of this? So that's kind of the innkeeper, as far as we know. And then finally, we have the Samaritan. I want to look at the Samaritan. Samaritan looked at this individual hurting as a neighbor to serve. He's not called the Good Samaritan. Stuart Briscoe writes, when Christ uttered the phrase, but a certain Samaritan, He says, I am sure his Jewish listeners were startled. A Samaritan. The Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. In his daily prayer, a proud Pharisee would have thanked God that he was not born as a woman or a Samaritan or even a Gentile. And some Pharisees prayed that the Samaritans would be excluded from the resurrection. That was their prayer. They just had nothing to do with Samaritans who were half and half. Half fully Jewish, half fully Gentile. A Gentile could turn to the Jewish faith, but not the other way. And so Jesus said, but a certain Samaritan. Sorry, did I say it was Briscoe? That was Warren Wiersbe with that comment. So I want to look at this Good Samaritan. Verse 33, because the first thing that Jesus brings out about him is that he has compassion. When he sees, he has compassion. Now that's an interesting word. In the Greek, you'll like this. It's splanchnon. Splanchnon. That's great. I think so too. I'm sure I laughed in Greek class. It is. Now what's interesting, that word is used exclusively of Jesus Christ and of God, his mercies. It actually means, it's translated in the King James's bowels of mercies, as in your intestines, your gut. And in Matthew chapter 9, it's used of the Lord himself. In Matthew chapter 18, it's used in a story of a king who gave forgiveness because he was moved with compassion. And in Luke chapter 15, we see about the story of the prodigal son. Compassion, splanchnon. Here, Jesus attaches it to a human being and a Samaritan at that. Wow. A gut-wrenching compassion. It's how God feels about us, and it's how He would like us to feel of others with their needs. So compassion. So verse 34, there is contact that is made. He went to him. Now the question immediately arises, so, you know, it seems like it's now just the two of them. He's made contact. Is there anybody else around? Maybe there's other robbers. Maybe they just left him half dead to see if somebody would come along, stop, help, and then they have one more victim. But he just makes contact there and does what he can. In verse 34, he expresses care. Compassion, contact, care. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And then it says, the next day. So he just didn't take him there, drop him off at the hospital, which they did not have, and leave. Which is all right. Good to do. You know, we have hospitals, so that's the right thing. They didn't. And then, verses 34 and 35, pouring on oil and wine, bandage, taking him. And verse 35, take care of him. He takes out two denarii. So, denarii. One denarii was worth a day's wage. What do you make in a day's wage? So this is not pocket change, and he takes out two of them and says to the innkeeper, Here, do what you need to. I'm sure it didn't cost a day's wage to stay there for a night. It wasn't the Jericho Hilton kind of thing. So there was a cost. The bandages. Did he have a first aid kit? Probably some of his own clothes that he used to cover. And oil and wine. Was he going to a celebration? Was he going to a bar mitzvah? No, wait. He's a Samaritan. He wouldn't go to bar mitzvahs. What was he going to have oil and wine? See the cost of it. There's compassion, there's care, there's contact, and it's cost. It's costing him to get involved. J.H. Jowett, great Baptist preacher, writer, speaker of years gone by, says that ministry that costs us nothing accomplishes nothing. Unquote. Ministry that costs us nothing accomplishes nothing. Cost involved. Now, by this time, the lawyer got the message. So you have the Good Samaritan. He got the message. And Jesus said in verse 36, so which of these three? And here we go. Notice how verse 36, it's in your own Bible. Look at how Jesus put the question. Which was a neighbor? He didn't say, who is a neighbor? The lawyer who is, Jesus said, which one was? It's not who's my neighbor, it's what kind of neighbor am I? Anyway. So which one was a neighbor? And the lawyer gets it, but he just can't make the words come to his mouth. He can't say it. The one who showed mercy. Because it would have been an amazing thing for him to confess that a Samaritan could do something good. The one who showed mercy. And Jesus just said, left him with that. So go and do likewise. That's it. Interesting story, isn't it? As a sideline, we are in the story, only we are the ones that have been beat up by sin. I mean, the wages of sin, as Paul writes in Romans, is really bad. Sin is divisive. Sin is destructive. Sin is deadly. So we're the ones that have been beat up. And who came along to us in our condition of just being out and helpless and paying the cost by his life, death, and resurrection? Paying the cost by his own life. Taking care of us. So there's that part of the story in which Jesus did it. He's the one who came along. And just through simple faith in him, through trusting him, he can give us forgiveness. He can give us pardon. He can give us eternal spiritual life and healing. That's us in the story. But this is about the neighbor. By the way, and we don't deserve any of that either. As this one who just laid there didn't deserve the good treatment, he didn't deserve. He's just next to being dead. But the point is for us, we can show the love of Jesus to others. Neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Person up the street, right next door, person at work, person in other desks in my classroom? Who's my neighbor? See, the issue is not, again, who's my neighbor, but what kind of neighbor am I? Oh, people might not be bleeding and look like they're half dead, but spiritually, apart from Jesus Christ, they're dead and they're just hurting. And so what happened here? Here's someone who came in contact with. So who is my neighbor? Well, and what kind of neighbor am I? It could be somebody that God brings into contact in my life who has needs and their need is of Jesus, and they might have some other serious needs too, but if God wants to use me to show his compassion to them, that was the story. Compassion to them, to just help them. And the Samaritan didn't just helped and did what he could and then went to just do what I can. Who's my neighbor? What kind of neighbor am I? But taking me out of my comfort zone, a certain Samaritan, out of my comfort zone. Yeah. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Way out of his comfort zone to care for us. So his words to us are, so go and do likewise. Do the same. There's people who need Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, this portion. Lord, help us to, first of all, have eyes to see. And it may be that people that you bring our lives into contact with may look fine on the outside. And they probably do. But Lord, you can see into the hearts. And Lord, if there's someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ, but you've put our life into contact with them, help us to do what we can to be in the right sense, as we know now, a good neighbor for the sake of their eternity. Lord, to show your compassion to them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.